5 o'clock, Air Cascadia. At 10:15, Locus Focus hosts Barbara Bernstein with Michael Abelman about his urban agriculture project. Soul Food Street Farms and Healthcare Forum presents excerpts from the recent conference of the Oregon Public Health Association. And we will wrap it up with that and be back next week. Thanks, everyone.
Is a proud co-sponsor of the Ralph Nader in Portland rally to get big money out of politics, taking place Saturday, October 22nd at 6 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Ralph Nader, along with local progressive leaders, will speak in support of the Get Big Money Out of Politics effort on the Multnomah County November ballot. There will also be a book signing and Q&A after the speech. Again, that's Ralph Nader Rally in Portland, Saturday, October 22nd at 6 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1121 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, October 17th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air and KBOO.FM on the web and everywhere. First, to get things rolling, the weather. The reason why we're going to make time for the weather today in particular is because some of the highlights of today's news are dependent upon a close observation of the weather, weather being a symptom and climate the cause of what its effect is afflicting the planet. And what is afflicting the planet is us, the species. Whereas the species are no more important than any other species, nature is not sentimental. We are no more important than an earthworm. And at the moment, the species is threatening the existence, very life of the planet, and nature's got some big plans for us. So, the weather. Right here in our bioregion in Cascadia, we've got a bit of a wet day, showers, thunderstorms possible, but later on in the day. Don't go running out there with metal rods in your hands quite yet. Highs near 59 and southwest winds 9 to 11, gusting up to around 20 miles per hour. And you could bet on it out in the East County, out towards the gorge. And For tonight, again, the rain persists. Lows around 52, and funnily enough, the wind drops off. South wind 7 to 9. Tomorrow, continues to rain on us, and we should be seeing a high around 59, and winds tapering off tomorrow night. The chance of rain tapers off. It's going to be mostly overcast skies and a low around 50. So you stand outside and watch as the moon is filtered through a cloud layer. We have a couple of guests today. Dallas Goldtooth is going to be here with us. Dallas Goldtooth probably needs no introduction, but here goes nonetheless. Dallas is, of course, the editor of the Indigenous Environmental Network, and has been one of our preliminary contacts very early on in this part, in this stage of the Dakota Access Pipeline, this standoff. Dallas was actually called in during the program to join us because the issue was that important. At that time, it was really not being covered at all by mainstream media, which, as always, had to paddle frantically to stay above the rising waters on this one, as in the case of so many other the most important stories of the day. We've seen this going on for a while now. Our mainstream media either is ignoring the story and then being dragged kicking and screaming into the eye of the storm, or has been bought off. The fix is in, as we say, bought off by those who themselves are at the eye of the storm, which in most cases these days would be the fossil fuel industry. This it comes as no surprise then that far, far away, the last fight for the city of Mosul, second largest city in Iraq, that is firing up. They hoped it would be a tank war in the desert because that's their favorite kind of war, but it looks like maybe it won't be. It looks like maybe it's going to move into house-to-house fighting, which is bad news for the, five or 600 people, civilians left in the city of Mosul. And again, think about it. Think about what good news these wars are for the fossil fuel industry. Think how much fuel is expended. Think of the damage to the environment. What are we going to see in the Middle East? And what does it portend for where we live right now? It really looks like the Southern Hemisphere is going to be left just not a smoking crater with various factions still duking it out in the ruins. We want to be very careful then how we manage our own resources, and we want to be particularly careful to pay close attention to the way First Nations people acknowledge, recognize power of the earth that they stand on when they plant their feet. That's why we do the weather in Cascadia, because so many people come from somewhere else and no understanding or relationship with the land that they are standing on now, and therefore very little reason to protect it other than as a fashion accessory. It's very important to plant your feet in the earth and take a stand and defend it. Dallas Goldtooth, our guest today, has been doing that pretty much his, all his life long. Good morning, Dallas.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, we are delighted to have you on the show today. Thanks and welcome back. So the stand-up, not a protest. Let's be sure that we remember that this is all about protecting first water and, of course, everything else that we can't say it falls in line. It certainly isn't. It's part of the circle of being. And people, the Standing Rock Sioux, know how to defend their land. Others know how to stand beside them. Can you tell us a little bit of what happened on the weekend? There was a lot went on.
Yeah, there was a number of actions, of prayer actions. These are peaceful the acts of civil disobedience, where we have water protectors going out to work sites, numerous work sites, where they are actively digging into the ground and laying the Dakota Access Pipeline. And so we had the water protectors go out to these sites and just conduct prayer and attempt to conduct prayer. There was a very large march that we organized where we had over, I think, 300 to 400 people marching over 4 to 5 miles. Just before they could get to the work site, the local police, local law enforcement, which is the Morton County Sheriff's Office, set up a roadblock on a public road to block access for us to get to the actual work construction site. And so there was kind of a standoff of sorts where we had our water protectors, stop there and line up and face off to what was about 100 law enforcement officers who were lined up in riot gear. There was,
100.
That's incredible. They had their, it's not a tank, but it's a personal carrier. It's like a vehicle that they use to transport officers in. It's an armored vehicle. They had a number of weapons there that they've stated time after time, which I don't disbelieve, but they have semi-automatic rifles, shotguns, but with non-lethal ammo, which is like bean bags. I believe that's what they have. But with that aside, it's still a very excessive act of intimidation. I mean, it's absurd that this escalation of this militarization of the police force in response to what has always been peaceful civil disobedience, has always been prayerful actions and with the intention to protect the water. That's what it is. It's absurd that you have our people who very clearly all they had on them was hand drums and eagle fans and banners. And then the very next day after this action, the police have the gall to classify this as a riot, which is just, it's absurd. I mean, the absurdity just keeps growing and growing on how local law enforcement and how public officials in North Dakota are continuously escalating the issue here and painting our people as violent leaning protesters who are there to riot, which is just far from the truth. So it was a peaceful action. It was a success. We did just our presence coming out into that area did stop construction. Workers did leave the site. And that's our whole purpose. The entire purpose of us being there is to stop construction, to halt business as usual. And that's what happened. And so we're doing that as much as possible, whether it's every day or every other day, or going out there, putting our bodies on the line just to stop and halt construction.
And the way it's too reported by the Tribune, Bismarck Tribune, and other the mainstream media, the outlets there locally has been so biased as to be laughable when reads reports out of Bismarck. Obviously, the hand of Governor Dalrymple has been busy there altering the facts. And as they were reported by people like yourself, people who are actually there, ground truthers, have no reason to distort the facts. That's been troubling. Also, I wonder too. In a recent report, again, this is something that I did look at this at the Bismarck Tribune today. Because I was interested in contrasting that with the reports that I'm getting from people in the camps, and says this chap Kellant said that they're facing charges of disobedience of a public safety order during riot conditions and disorderly conduct. The 100 black police lined up in a wide open spaces, big, enormous, beautiful sky, and of course the earth below. This doesn't make any sense to me. It says that he was on land. It was just a landowner. He was three other people were arrested and accused of trespassing on a rancher's land. Well, the people around there, the ranchers, they've been to a great extent on the side of the protectors, because it's their water too. It's their interest as well. I can't see why a rancher would condone arresting people on their land. They would. Can you tell us how the private property enters into this story?
I mean, this pipeline, the issues, the problem that we have with it, it's not just about, I mean, for us as Native people, as Indigenous peoples, first and foremost, this is a fight to protect our Indigenous rights, our rights as Indigenous peoples. It's also a fight to protect the right for us to be consulted, and the rights for free, prior, and informed consent for such projects across our land. And it's a right for us to, it's a fight to protect our water. But it's also... And also a fight to protect landowner rights. There are a number of non-Native landowners who have been fighting eminent domain and have been fighting big oil, who have trampled their ability to decide what happens to their land just as much as they've been trampling our rights as Indigenous peoples, what happens to our land. So there is a coordinated effort to push back against big oil's attempts to just plow through and lock us into more fossil fuel development.
And have their way, as always. Dallas, hang on a second there. We have to go now. We're flat out of time. But I cannot thank you enough. You're so generous with your time. It's a real pleasure having you on the show today. Of course, our guest has been Dallas Goldsmith with the Indigenous Environmental Network. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, October 17th, 2016. Engineering for us today is Kathleen Stevenson. Kathleen, of course, is also the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Eco Film Festival, Thursday through Sunday, October 20th through 23rd, at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. The Portland Eco Film Festival is the premier environmental film festival in the United States Pacific Northwest, showing the very best films about nature, the environment,